And now, back to Help My Midlife Sucks with your host, Laurie Dean.
My next guest is no stranger to this show, and she's back for a second time. But in case you missed our first conversation, no problem. You can listen to and download the replay at helpmymidlifesucks.com after tonight's show, because you do not want to go anywhere right now or you'll miss this exciting conversation that we have coming up with Patricia Corey. And Patricia is a world-renowned best-selling author of 13 books, including Before We Leave You, Atlantis Rising, The Cosmos of the Soul, and her first novel, The Emissary, which Patricia and I talked about during her last visit. Patricia also explores mysticism, philosophy, ancient civilizations, alternative healing, spirituality, and unexplained mysteries, and she teaches these subjects to audiences around the world. She founded the nonprofit organization Save Earth's Ocean. It's dedicated to help global cleanup of beaches and oceans and to restore the balance of our fragile ocean ecosystems. Tonight, Patricia is here to ask us and to help us answer a really important question. What is my life mission? How do I live my dream? And I think it's a question we're ready to look at during this phase of our life, and maybe you've already started to do so. Maybe you've phrased it a little bit differently. For example, you might be saying to yourself, why am I here? Is this all there is to my life? Something like that. And I bet if you're like me, it's a question that has more than just simply crossed your mind. So let's get into what this can mean, why it's important, and how we can start to access an answer to this really big question as I welcome back to the show, Patricia Corey. Patricia, thank you so much for joining us again.
Thank you, Laurie. It's great to be back with you, and thank you for that warm welcome.
Well, it's my pleasure to have you back. And last time, as I was just saying, we were talking about your novel, The Emissary, and you had mentioned then that it was optioned to become a major film. Any updates on that?
I have an incredible update. In fact, the company that I had it optioned with, it didn't work out, and I didn't renew the option, and I have just, in these hours, signed The Emissary with an A-list Oscar-winning actor who, unfortunately, I can't name at this moment because we're still in the process of determining publicity and promotion or whatever. But so I can't get that out just yet, but he has signed, and that is a huge boon for the making of the movie. And he's also going to be involved in production. So he wants to make this movie really badly, and now we're in the process of developing it and with a whole new energy and a whole new interest, and it's really looking good.
Well, congratulations. That is really exciting news. And
thank you so much. It is. It's very exciting.
When you can share the details with us, like who this famous actor is, can you come back on the show and we'll talk more about that?
I'd love to. That would be fabulous.
Well, I look forward to that. And I know the listeners are just very curious as well. So that's really good news. Congratulations. And I think in a lot of ways, this ties into the conversation we're going to have tonight about fulfilling your life purpose and living your dream. And I know you've put a lot of energy into all of that and everything that you do, including your writing. And do you see your writing and all of the work you do with Save Earth's Oceans and everything you do to help people as part of your life purpose?
Absolutely. Unquestionably. My books have been spiritual books with quite an impact on people who have read them. Many people write and say that their lives were altered after reading the material. Very empowering information, and yet very realistic views of the issues at hand on this earth and the problems that we face and the spiritual purpose for being here. So that really ties in with what you're focusing on this evening. And I personally work with people all over the globe, and the common denominator of people seeking my help is, I don't know what my purpose is. How do I find my mission?
Is that something that you knew kind of from day one, or was it a struggle for you as well to get to this place where you know that you're living your life purpose?
It's sort of something I knew from childhood. I was a very psychic child, and I had contact with spirit beings from early on. And I went through the normal process of what a young woman goes through with boyfriends and college and whatever. But very early on in my life, I started working as a healer, and the writing came only about 20 years ago. So up until that time, I was doing spirit work. I was an advocate for the animals. I've always had a very clear idea of what my mission is on this planet. And I believe that that is the most important thing. You can find love, you can have a great career, but if you don't have a sense of what you're really doing here, it can be a struggle.
How do we lose that along the way? Because you had shared that we bring a karmic intention with us when we come to this world, but for so many of us, we lose touch with that. What do you think happens?
Well, that's a very good question. I think that the conditions of life on Earth are very dramatic, and for most people, there's so much suffering, there's so much war, there are so many negative aspects on the global picture that on the personal picture, we are so bombarded with all of this negativity that it takes us a determination to rise above all the negative input and stay on track as to what you want to achieve in your life, who you are, what you've come here to achieve, and where to find the beauty.
And I don't think we're taught that growing up, at least the people in the midlife years. It's not something that we necessarily learn in our educational systems or even in our home to really get in touch with whatever that could be. We're sort of taught to, you know, get a good job, have a family, do all of the materialistic types of things to succeed, I guess. But I don't think a lot of us are taught that in quite this way.
Well, no, because we have religion mandating how you're supposed to interpret God and your place in the sphere of the spiritual realm. And that is a mess. I mean, how many wars have been fought over religion and continue to be fought over religion? So there's an oxymoron if you've ever heard one.
Yeah, exactly.
And the system that we're in is designed to produce workers. Let's face it.
Yeah.
We're taught to conform. We're trained to be workers to move forward this commercial corporate machine. And looking for your purpose, that is individual, that is deep, that is truly finding an inner guidance, which the system doesn't really want us to have, does it?
No, it sure doesn't. And I think you're totally right about this whole religious aspect that we're bombarded with, but we don't have this sense of spirituality and trust in our gut instinct, our inner knowing. And the whole idea of this, that we bring it with us when we're born, I think is something that's very, very interesting. And I'm wondering if you can talk about that just a little bit more. Is it something that happens as soon as we're born? Is it an intention that we have before we agree to be born? Or how do you see this working?
Well, as we discussed on the last show, I truly believe that the soul, I believe completely in reincarnation and understand my own experience to be one of reincarnating many times, like most of us. And in my understanding, the soul essence, when we pass between lives, we go through different states. Some have referred to the hall of learning, where we go to gather more information. Some people refer to the period of rest, where we sleep after having dealt with a traumatic life or not. But at any rate, I think that we keep coming back to learn lessons and to achieve mastery. The soul brings in that karmic intent when it comes into being. Now, the question of when does the soul enter the essence of the child, we can have that argument for as long as life continues.
Yeah, I'm sure there's all kinds of different opinions on that one.
Yeah, and I mean, is it when the sperm unites with the egg? Is it the glint in your dad's eye when he's about to bring your mom away for the weekend? Is it the spark that triggers the separation of the cells to start multiplying into another form? We don't really know how to identify that, because the truth is that there is no beginning and there is no end.
And I guess the understanding of that there is something that karmic intention is brought forward with us is kind of the main point anyway.
I think so too. And I believe that that's why so many people have that sense of what they're supposed to, what they want to achieve in their lifetime. And for the people who don't, I just think that they've lost track of that because of the conditioning of life. And the exciting thing now is there are a lot of people who are breaking out of these formats, these conditions, these rule and regulation systems, and awakening to their spirituality. And that is the question, the primary question that will evolve when you're awakening spirituality. There are two: what is God and what is my purpose?
And I think that's a lot of people in the midlife years are starting to ask both of those questions. And so how do they get started getting some answers that are truthful to them? Where do they begin to develop their vision?
I think that it's very important to get in tune with what you're passionate about in life. Because sometimes when people just stare at me and they say, I really haven't got a clue what I want to do, what I'm supposed to do. And then my answer is, well, then you're not going to be able to achieve it until you identify it.
Makes sense.
And you're not going to be able to reach your dreams if you don't have a dream. So I always recommend to people that they start with their passions. What gives them passion? And I'm not talking about, obviously, romantic passion. Do you have passion for nature? Are you passionate about helping children, animals, art? I think that through these vehicles, identifying those areas that really bring joy to the experience of living, one can begin to say, you know, I really need to be doing more in this field, and eventually find what that mission is through the vehicle of things that are important at that passionate level, because that's where your fire burns, your lust, your joy for life.
And I think that's really crucial at this phase of life, because let's face it, we don't have as many years left as we did coming forward. So to be able to get to that space now can really make the quality of our remaining years sizzle, I guess.
Well, I want to say to everyone that these years of my life, I'm 63 and I have no intention of leaving the planet anytime soon, are so far the best years of my life. Yeah. And I have everything to look forward to. I'm filled with passion, and I just got back from Egypt swimming with, I was supposed to swim with the dolphins, but they didn't show up. And so I was snorkeling 2 miles out from the coast in these incredible coral worlds. And thinking, wow, look at the beauty here, how privileged I am to be here swimming with these incredible fish. But then again, I take myself there.
Yeah. And do you think it's your attitude of gratitude and wonder that is helping keep that passion going for all the things you do in life?
Absolutely. That's a very good point. I think that we take a lot of things for granted in life. And when you get out of that mindset and start appreciating the small things, the things that you create, the gifts that are given to you from spirit, you break out of those molds, again, speaking of that conditioning, and learning to appreciate manifests more.
When you were sending me information regarding the talk we were going to have tonight, something really interesting struck me, and I wanted to ask you a little bit more about it. You talked about here at midlife, we move into a higher octave of our lives. What does that mean?
I think that, let's put it this way, your first 10 years, you might as well not even, they count at the formula point of view, but you're a kid, so you're coping with childhood. Your teen years are all over the place, especially the teens of this era, because they're becoming more mature sexually much earlier. And I'm sorry to see that, actually. I hate to think of 12-year-olds already completely immersed in the sexual experience, because the innocence. I was a late bloomer. I loved the fact that we were still innocent for so long. But at any rate, that's the society now. I yield to it. And so in your teens, you're faced with sexuality and hormones all over the place. And what are you going to do about college? And a lot of important decisions are made in those years. Then you've got the 20s, which are experimental, hopefully, so that you don't end up at 45 wishing you had done something in your 20s. And I think that each decade, there's a certain stamp on a certain quality of or achievement level of life. Your family years, getting your career rolling. By the time you hit your midlife, you've achieved a lot of these things. You've probably had your education. You've probably had a child or two, and maybe been married or not, and many relationships. And it's time to start asking yourself, what have I accomplished in my life, and am I happy? Because the ultimate question is, am I happy?
Yeah. And I think that's something that can be hard for women at our age, because we are used to making sure everyone else is happy and our happiness comes second.
Well, that is nowhere in my world. My attitude is, let's make everybody else happy as we can, but let us be a lighthouse for them and radiate out the joy.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, that's slavery.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I just find that sometimes when I'm talking to women in their 50s, that's been their upbringing. And they're starting to understand that unless they are happy first and foremost, the others around them can't be truly happy either. And I think it's wonderful to see people waking up to that.
I agree. And I also want to say to these same people that if you don't start doing that, what do you look forward to in your 60s and 70s?
Yeah.
When the children are gone, when the husband is gone perhaps, or has turned into a TV watching jellyfish. Sorry, I don't mean to be offensive here. That's just meant in humor.
Yeah, I get you.
When those structures that held you for so long dissipate, start to break down, and you're confronted with yourself, what do you bring to the table for yourself? I remember my mother saying, my greatest accomplishment in life was raising you kids. She was also very successful in her work. But there's a lot more to life than raising the kids. And when the kids leave, then what? What if that's the only thing that you really feel has been your accomplishment? What happens when they leave?
Yeah, and a lot of people suffer with that empty nest syndrome when the kids do leave. It's really a time for a wake-up call.
Especially at this point, as you said, the midlife moment when it's wake-up call time, you have to confront yourself. Now, if you've lived your life filled with dreams, filled with hope, passionate about many things besides this unit that you've constructed, then when these people go, now's the time for the art. Now's the time for a belly dancing classes. Now's the time to travel and you explore your own passion.
How can we help the listeners who may not have been at that phase? They didn't have that going for them until now, and they're feeling stuck and that their life is sucky. Now is the time that they can start to do all of these things. Where would they begin, beginning with just the gratitude and the wonder of life in general? Is there some little steps that they can do to start putting all this into motion?
I think that one thing that's required to at that point is to really do some self-examination and ask yourself, what have I done to create whatever traps I'm in? What is the mindset that keeps me held here? Many people are in fear of traveling, fear of achieving, fear of not achieving. I mean, it goes on, fear of not being loved. And so confronting yourself and asking yourself, what is holding me back from experiencing joy in my life? And it can only be, well, I've got to put the kids through college and the myriad excuses to a certain age. And then it's time to confront yourself. And hopefully you look at your fears and you say, yes, I am terrified to jump off a boat in the middle of the ocean, but I'm going to do it anyway because I want to taste it. So my recommendation to people is to, first of all, to confront your fear. What is it about life that you're so terribly afraid of?
And that requires such honesty.
Total honesty.
Yeah.
But it's just you and yourself.
Yeah, you don't have to share that with anyone. You can just
you don't.
And your conversation with yourself, exactly.
And my credo for life is just do it. The famous Nike slogan, just do it, is a beautiful, beautiful slogan.
Yeah, I love that
do
too.
Do it anyway. Just do it. Get it past you. And then you look back at this block, this fear, and think, I spent 50 years worrying about this, for goodness sake. And then once you've confronted the fear, then you can say, okay, now that I know that what I'm really afraid of, what is out there that I've always wanted to do or try or taste that I never allowed myself? And do it. Just do it. And see what new things you can bring in that create excitement and passion in your life.
And I think at this phase, too, we've kind of gone through those awkward years of worrying about what everybody might think of us in terms of what we say or do. And we get to this phase and we kind of don't care as much about that anymore. So to really just do something, regardless of what the public perception or even the family perception might be, can be pretty empowering, I would say.
Yes, family impressions are very interesting. Yeah. There's always at least one person in the family that is a completely different than everyone else. I happen to be that person.
Yeah, I think I am in my family too. My daughter, who's 24, is actually used to it now, so she doesn't mind, but she's definitely not had a traditional upbringing, and I've been kind of the one responsible for that.
Good for you. Well, my mom just was a wonderful mother, and she used to encourage that in me and say, you know, you're just a special kid. You're a different kid. And it was nice having that kind of nourishment. But I do. I walk to a different drummer for sure than my siblings. And I think that a lot of people out there have that, they are ready to break out of the mold. And those molds will kill you because, as we said earlier, if you don't find yourself, if you don't confront yourself, what do you have to look forward to? Because these are the issues that face us now. As you said, we don't have as much time left, which made me a little uncomfortable. What are we going to create in this phase of our life? And for me, I've never been more creative than I am now.
And I think it's really important to recognize if we don't walk to the same drumbeat as others, that is okay. In fact, that's pretty exciting. And that's a really interesting place to start, to be in wonder of what that means and to be curious about what that means and to go forward and experiment with that.
By all means. And as I tell people when they say, I just don't feel like that's normal, I say, well, normal is what you don't want to be. Be abnormal. Be different. Dare to be different.
When I was 50, I quit my job, sold my house, got rid of my stuff, and my husband and I took off for 2 years of traveling around North America and Mexico before we came back to settle down. And I was really amazed at the reactions I got from those around me. There were those people who were highly supportive, but the majority were shocked and fearful that I was going to end up destitute. And they couldn't believe I gave up my so-called security blanket of this amazing job and home and all this stuff to do something so crazy. And yet it was something I was called to do, I had to do. I wouldn't have missed it for the world. And it has brought me to a higher level than I ever could have achieved if I hadn't done something. Now, I'm not telling everybody to go out and do something like that, but because I listened to my calling, my instinct, I was able to make amazing strides in my life that never would have been possible.
And you followed your passion.
Totally, absolutely.
And these same people that say you're crazy to do it are really only reflecting their own fear.
And I think that's really important because so many times when we get too caught up in what other people think about what we're doing, I think it's important for us to realize that they are just reflecting their own fear and it really has nothing to do with us. And I think if we can keep that in perspective, it can also go a long way to alleviating our own fears and anxieties about doing something that's really uncomfortable for us.
Exactly. And doing uncomfortable, that's where all the bennies are in life.
Yeah.
Pushing the envelope, risking. Taking the giant leap, that's where all the great successes lie, not in the safety zone, not in the comfort zone. That is plasma. And it's lovely, and you have, you know, beautiful experiences and celebration and birthdays, and I'm not knocking that, but the real adventure, the real excitement, I think, comes from being outside the box.
Yeah. And Patricia, we're winding down our conversation, and I want to ask you a couple of other things, particularly what you have going on in the works. What's driving your passion these days?
Well, the movie deal is obviously first and foremost. I'm just so thrilled about it. And hopefully, if we can get this past the development stage, we'll be in, I'd like to say by the end of the year, I may just be sitting on a film set being part of the production of this movie.
So fabulous.
That's very exciting. And then, as always, I'm working for the whales and dolphins. And in fact, the movie is, of course, about whales. Mm-hmm. I just came back from swimming in the Red Sea. And in June, I'm going to the Azores. I'm bringing a group of seekers with me. And we're going to swim with the dolphins almost every day, dolphins permitting, and explore nature. And the latest thing I'm passionate about is photography. I have just gotten crazy about photography, so I'm experimenting and learning really how to use the camera, and I've got lots of projects in mind because of that, and I'd like to go to film school, so once the finances are there, I am in a position, because I don't have a full-time job, to enroll in a film school. And that's something I'd like to do because I'd like to learn how to use the camera and I'd like to be able to make some documentaries.
Wow, you got so much on the go. It's exciting, exciting, exciting stuff. And how can we find out more about you so that we can keep up to date on everything you're doing?
I have a website, patriciacorey.com. And there's a website for the book, The Emissary, which is theemissary.net. And people can also search me on Google. I have quite a lot of information out there and various interviews and things like that. And as soon as I am able to announce who this wonderful person is who's going to be starring in my movie, that should be getting a lot of play on Google as well.
Perfect.
So I'm around.
And you have to let me know so that we can pump it out here as well.
I'd love to.
Just before I let you go, Patricia, what would you like the listeners to take away from our conversation?
I'd like them to remember that you've got to have a dream, because if you don't have a dream, you can't make a dream come true. And dream big. My mom always taught me, start at the top, baby. You can always work down.
I love that.
And so dream big. Be outrageous in your dreams. Aspire to greatness. And then go out there and make it happen.
Patricia Corey, thank you so much for being here again. Always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Same for me. Thank you, Lori. It's always wonderful to talk with you.
Well, that is it for Help My Midlife Sucks for another week. Thanks once again to Tara Ray and Patricia Corey for being my very special guests. And of course, thanks to you for coming back each and every week. Oh, and by the way, don't forget the replays of these interviews are available on helpmymidlifesucks.com. You can download them and keep them and listen to them as many times as you wish. Until we meet again back here next week, always remember to ask yourself in every situation, what else is possible? I'm Lori Dean. This has been Help My Midlife Sucks, and we'll see you back here next week. Good night.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to check out the Help My Midlife Sucks webpage to get the lowdown on upcoming guests, listen to past episodes, share your comments and questions, and much more. You'll find it all at helpmymidlifesucks.com. Once again, that address is helpmymidlifesucks.com. Until next week, be curious and expect miracles.